It's me again, coming to you with words from the Word. Trust that you have been encouraged, and we continue to share with others and encourage them along the way. We are doing a little series in regards to married and miserable union, where there is unhappiness, and we've looked at quite a number of things. We are looking at this matter of abuse in a relationship. The last thing we looked at was spiritual abuse. And I promise you that when we come back, we would look at economic abuse. But before we do, I would like to read for you the verse of a song entitled, God Give Us Men, based on Proverbs 2 and verse number 20. The thought stanza says, God give us bold men. Men who have hearts ablaze, men who with border, vision, seek none but God's own praise, true men with great integrity, men whose heart the Lord has won, men who live in humble gratitude for all that God has done. Give us such men. In the homes today, there is much abuse that's going on, and people need to be aware of some of it. There are some folks that are afraid to speak out. Some are ashamed to say anything about it. Some figure that it is just a norm to be abused in such a way. But let's go a little deeper today and look at economic abuse. Now, I don't know if you have heard this saying before. Probably you did not. The saying goes like this. There's a saying by many today, oh, I'm looking out for myself. This is about me. I am making sure that I am all right. Now, when I listen to words like that, this is making or attempting to make one financially independent. It is taking full control over resources. In the case of a woman, we are told that some women feel all of her money or their money belong to them. All of her money belongs to her. His money is her money, and he has no money. Wow. Say it again. All of her money is her money, and his money is her money, and he has no money. Could you imagine? She's in control of all the finances. She's in control of us. She's in control of his, and she's in control of both of them together. He has no say and nothing to do with the money, no more than to go and walk and bring it home, because it is her money. On the other hand, it could be the man who says his money is his money, and her money must pay the bills, so she has no money. So it would mean that the wife is working, the man is working, he keeps his money. No doubt he probably saves his money. He takes her money, or they take her money and maintain the house, and he saves his money. Now, that may be good if the savings is in both of their names. But if it is not, I cannot see that as fair. It is to take full control over all money. Wow. So wherever the money comes from, one of the parties wants to have the full control of it. Wow, that's abuse. And I call it economic abuse. There is something else that I have heard and seen. What about property? The land, the house, the properties that they have, the business. I have seen the property in one person's name, whether it is in the man's name or in the woman's name. It is not in both of their name in some cases. Now, if one has property in his name alone and not and his wife's name, there got to be a reason why one would do that. Or if a wife has property in her name and not her husband's name, there got to be a reason one would do that. Now, I am not talking of property that one may have bought before they got married. Because if you met someone with something, then it's going to be up to the person if they would make that something both of us. But properties that were bought since they became husband and wife, whether she works or not, and she's at home taking care of him and taking care of the children, I believe the good Christian thing to do would be to have both names on it. Then what about the business? There are some people, they have business, and the business is in one person name, whether it is the woman or the man, and not both of their names. And this is a business that they have owned together. When things like that happen, the other partner tries to hide a little. So if he or she is left out in the cold, they could have a little to stand on. Now, there would be no need to be hiding finances or anything else from anyone if it is ours and not just mine or not just hers. It is always better, if you are married, to have things as ours. How about the credit card bills? In some cases, she cannot pay the bill. Why? Because there is never enough. So her money takes care of the house, and her bills cannot be paid. Sometimes she must explain everything that she did with the credit card. He must explain everything that he did with the credit card. Many times it is to buy things for the house. Many times it is to buy gifts for the spouse. And when all of these things begin to happen, and the woman see these things happening, in some cases, the woman began to look older than what she is. Why? Because of all the strain that she carries. You look at her, she would love to go to the hairdresser, but she has her hair tied on because she can't go to the hairdresser. There's not enough money to go to the hairdresser. We must stop and look at these things and make sure that there is enough that the wife can also take care of herself. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, the scripture says, "For the love of money is the root of all evil." Some people say money is the root of all evil. No, the Bible says money answereth all things. But the Bible also teaches in 1 Timothy 6:10, the love of money is the root of all evil. People that love money will do anything evil to get it. The Bible said the love of it is the root of all evil. The scripture continues to say, "Which, while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and paced themselves through with many sorrows." People that you see going after money, the more they got, the more they want. These are people that don't find time to serve God, to worship God. I believe that the principle, if we really want to receive, the principle of receiving is given. Not just trying to take away from someone else, but it is given. In Luke 6:38, the Bible said, "Give." So it speaks to me and it says that I must give. Give to who? To those who are in need. "And when I give," he said, "it shall be given unto you." In other words, when you give, you'll receive back. How? He said, "Good measure." We would say plenty. "Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. So shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet with all, it shall be measured to you again." I'm going to come back in our next devotion and share with you some more scriptures to let you see the principle of receiving. And what the Bible says is the principle of receiving. Father, thank you. Help us, dear God, to study your word and follow your word. Have your way with us as we try to help others. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thank you for sharing.